Good evening.
Good evening, and welcome to March 17th Recreation and Parks Commission meeting. Happy Thanksgiving. That's a bad start. Happy St. Pat. I'm Irish too. Happy St. Patrick's Day. It looks like all of our commissioners are wearing green. So very pleased to see our spirit out, and hope everyone's having a great day and has a great evening. I'd like to call to order our meeting, and so we'll start with roll call. Crowley?
Present.
Sedaris?
Present.
Ayub? Absent. Munoz? Absent. Bates?
Present.
Romero?
Present.
And we would like to welcome Al Romero to our commission. Welcome, Al.
Thank you.
Happy to have you. So it's noted that Munoz and Ayub are both absent this evening. In terms of commissioner reports and announcements, does anyone have any announcements for this evening's meeting? Yeah, I think we're going to... Okay. Anyone other than the spaghetti feed? Okay. Mr. Woods?
Yes, thank you and good evening, Commission and Chair Hale. And happy St. Patrick's Day, definitely. I would like to encourage all citizens of Morro Bay who have received a transit survey to gather it, complete it, and return it to City Hall in a timely fashion. Your input is very important. And getting the transit survey back, and now that I'm going through it, I think it goes back to public services. So pick up your transit survey, complete it, and return it. The more we get, the more information we'll have to better fit the needs of our transit for the community in the future. So thank you.
All right, thanks. The other announcement for this evening is to encourage everybody to join us next Friday late afternoon, 4:30 to 7 p.m., for the annual spaghetti dinner fundraiser that takes place at the community center. It's a terrific event, and the proceeds of the event go to the Morro Bay Community Foundation, which provides scholarships to youth to participate in sports and other recreation activities who have financial burdens. So it's a terrific event. We'll have live music and great spaghetti, lots of volunteers helping out to make that a great event. So we look forward to seeing everyone next Friday, March 25th at 4:30 to 7. All right, so what I would like to do next is we do have a item, which is D4, a presentation by San Luis Obispo County Parks on the final alignment section of the Morro Bay to Cayucas connector. And what we'd like to do is move that up on the agenda to follow the public comment period. So I'll need to get a motion in order to move this up on the agenda.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion that we move D4 to the top of the consent calendar.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Okay. Great. So we will...
Got that.
Following the public comment period, we will have D4 on the agenda. So what we'd like to do now is open up for public comment, and members of the audience wishing to address the commission on any matter other than public hearing, which we don't have tonight. If you can keep your comments to about 3 minutes, that'd be great.
Good evening, Madam Chair, Commissioners. My name is Robert Davis. I live in Morro Bay. And I'm speaking tonight as a representative of the Morro Bay Citizens Bike Committee. I'd like to speak about the Morro Bay to Cayucas connector. The Bike Committee supports a recommendation to County Parks that the multi-use trail between Morro Bay and Cayucas be built on the western side of Highway 1 on the ocean side. We believe that a multi-use trail that accommodates bicyclists and pedestrians on the west side of the highway is the only logical alignment. The trail is being built for recreational purposes, and to us that means coastal access, both physical access and visual access. Eastern alignment on the other side of the highway would result in a trail that few people would find attractive or use. Commuter cyclists will continue to ride on the shoulders of Highway 1 even after the connector is built. The connector is being built for the enjoyment of those who want to experience the nearness of the beach and the ocean, and we believe that means that it needs to be close to the ocean. Thank you.
Thank you. Come on up.
Hi, how you doing? It's for the Recreation and Parks. Yeah, my name is Gary Hickson, and I live at 761 Butte Avenue, apartment 5. And I think you're doing a really good job with Recreation and Parks, and it's a hard job. And I like going to these meetings, attending, and I encourage a lot of people out there to attend. I'm doing the Gary Tyler Moore Show on public access, and I do my public comment at the City Council, and see a lot of familiar faces. And just wanted to say that. Yeah, Recreation and Parks and the Skateboard Park is a good idea. They're trying to pave the parking lot out there because of all the potholes. And you guys are still at the Senior Center over there with the blue roof. And I'm trying to go to more and more of these meetings. I'm a little bit nervous about speaking in front of people. Also, I'm glad that George League is on the City Council. And I just want to say there's a field on April. There's going to be a notice for everybody out there with grass, and it gets real dry in April, so they'll have to mow those lots because it's a fire hazard. But one of them looks kind of like Little House on the Prairie. I just wanted to say that I'm attending these meetings, and I got about one more minute left, and got to get used to being on television. And I think you're doing a good job. And I go to the next to the City Hall to find out, you know, the Works Department to see if there any potholes in the road or anything with Planning Commission. So that's all I wanted to say. And it was a nice day out there, and keep up the good work. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Good evening, commissioners. Thanks for hearing our public comment this evening. My name is Dan Revoir. I reside in San Luis Obispo, and I'm the executive director of the San Luis Obispo County Bicycle Coalition. I'm also here this evening to express support from the Bike Coalition and our members throughout the county for a western alignment of the Morro Bay to Cayucos connector. We've solicited opinions from our advocacy committee and members at large about the path alignment. And it's our opinion, just like the Bicycle Advisory Committee of Morro Bay or Citizens Bike Advisory Committee, that a western alignment is going to be a far more attractive option for recreational trail users, for visitors, and will drastically increase the positive impact of the path in this community. As we build facilities, hopefully to encourage more and more visitors to come to our area, enjoy the recreational opportunities that we have, I believe that a western alignment will be a much more powerful motivator for visitors who'd like to come to San Luis Obispo and ride their bike. So thank you very much, and I hope that you consider the western alignment.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public wish to speak? Okay, seeing we have no one else, we'll close the public comment period. And we'll move on to item D4, which is a presentation to discuss further the Morro Bay to Cayucos connector.
May I introduce our speaker, please? Chair Hale, thank you. Tonight, we'll have a presentation from Ms. Elizabeth Cavanaugh from the county. She's a county planner. She'll be presenting the county's project, which is a bike connector path from Morro Bay to Cayucos. You'll notice that portions of this beginning of this bike path are starting at the cloisters, goes through the beach track, and then ends up at Yerba Buena. And that's where the western and eastern alignments questions come into play. We are looking for a recommendation from the commission to go to council for a final citywide kind of approval or recommendation back to the county regarding the alignment. So at this time, I turn it over to Ms. Cavanaugh for her presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Woods. I'm Elizabeth Cavanaugh, as Mr. Woods mentioned, from County Parks Department. And I'm here requesting a recommendation from your board on the Morro Bay to Cayucos connector. This is a project that will connect the bike trail systems in Morro Bay and Cayucos. It will create a Class 1 bike path along Highway 1, It's will provide signage along areas that there's existing bike paths, but there isn't any signage already. And then we're also hoping that this will be part of the California Coastal Trail. There we go. The California Coastal Trail, just a quick blurb for those of you who aren't familiar with it, is a trail. It's a trail that will expand from Oregon to Mexico along the coast. One of the criteria for this trail is that it be located within Highway 1 and the mean high tide of the Pacific Ocean. So here's a little graphic of the coastal trail, and the red line that you see along the edge there is the dream alignment of the California Coastal Trail there. So as you can see, it's as close to the ocean as possible. We do have existing bike routes that are outlined in green in both Morro Bay and Cayucas. And as you can see, this connector trail will literally connect those two existing bike routes. So really, the construction of this project is within this area between the two communities along Highway 1. We've been doing this process since 2004, working on this project. It's been a collaborative process all along. It's continuing to be collaborative as I'm here presenting to you, asking for recommendation. These are some of the players in the collaborative process, and our commitment is still to maintain that collaboration. So I'm going to jump right into the alignment choice, starting with the eastern alignment. We're on the east side of Highway 1. Now, both start in the Cloisters Park. Both eastern and western alignments start in the Cloisters Park in Morro Bay, traverse through the neighborhoods of Morro Bay, and then through Yerba Buena is where it crosses over Highway 1 to start the eastern alignment. Let's see if I can. Now, this is the one that my computer keeps having problems with. So if you could break out this little handout here of the eastern alignment, that will show you. And I'll walk you through here. Again, we're in Cloisters. We'll be going through the neighborhood's Beachcomber Drive to Yerba Buena, crossing over Highway 1, then riding along basically the side of Highway 1 into Ocean Boulevard in Cayucas, where it splits and goes towards Norma Rose Park onto the existing bike trails in Cayucas that will lead you to downtown Cayucas. Or at that point, you can cross over at Old Creek, which is a lighted cross, and go down to 24th Street Beach. So we've completed an environmental impact report for this project, and some of the impacts identified with the eastern alignment, no room where that big cut slot is, where there's just no room to expand for the bike trail, the bike lane. So when in those pinch point areas, there is a wall. There is some cultural resource on the eastern side that paving that trail and digging for that trail will impact. And traffic being one of the bigger impacts on the eastern alignment is really its safety of the users of the trail, having to cross over to the parking and to the beach, having to cross through Highway 1. And so here's our parking, our proposed parking for this project. Most of it's existing, and as you can see, it's the yellow blurbs down and around. Those are mostly on the western side, so that's where that traffic impact came in, is that people would be crossing over to get to those parking spots to get to the trail. So our western alignment is along, again, runs through the town of Morro Bay. At Yerba Buena, instead of crossing Highway 1, it runs along Highway 1, and I think I can get a visual here. Maybe not. Well, here you go. There's Western Alignment on the other side. And we will be riding along the western side of Highway 1 on the beach, across the Morro Strand State Beach, and then onto Studio Drive in Cayucas, again crossing over at Old Creek to allow the connection to downtown Cayucas, or splitting off and going to 24th Street Cayucas. Now, we do have some alignment impacts with the western alignment. The first one is trail erosion. And this isn't erosion of the bluffs, it's erosion, possible erosion of the trail on the bluffs. So there is a little distinction there. And what that presents is more of a maintenance issue for county parks, really, is that if that trail does erode, that we would have to maintain that, and that may be a more costly maintenance than it would be on the east side. And then finally, this was a Class 1 impact, and if in California Environmental Quality Act, that means it's a big impact that can't be mitigated. And again, it's the barrier that separates the bike trail from the highway, and this, again, is not along the whole length of the trail. This is only along some pinch point areas. As you see, those of you familiar with, I don't want to scare you. I think that picture scares some people. So we will need a wall. We will need a barrier to protect the people of the trail in that area. Some examples of a prettier wall are shown up here. The one that we're probably most familiar is the one on Highway 1. The one down below is one that is working on approving it for the Muscle Shoals area in Ventura, which has very similar terrain to this area that I'm talking about between Morro Bay and Cayucas. So we're really working towards a much more aesthetically pleasing barrier than what was shown in that environmental impact report. But at the time of doing the environmental impact report, that was, you know, the absolute worst wall that Caltrans could ever possibly approve. So please don't get scared by that. So our next step is, here I am asking you to give me a recommendation to select an alignment. I'm also going to all those other people in that collaborative list that I showed you just to ask them for their recommendation, east side or west side. Once we get those recommendations, we're going back to the County Parks and Rec Commission, getting their recommendation as they hear all for questions. I can see you have them, and I'm Elizabeth, and I'll close for questions. Thank you.
Sure, I'll go first. Thank you for that presentation. My question is, what will the bike path look like going through the neighborhood? And what kind of consensus did you have from those neighbors, or how did, what did that process look like? 'Cause
the bike path in the city of Morro Bay will basically, at this point, it's signage. It won't be striping or anything like that, unless your public works department says that's what they really want. It won't be built up. It will be just a part of the street where bicyclists can go. As far as the input from the members of that neighborhood, the early discussions, I wasn't there, so I haven't heard or seen of anything in the file that shows that there was any opposition to that. I do know that when I noticed the environmental impact report hearing, we noticed everybody within 1,000 feet of this trail alignment, which included that neighborhood. And I did not hear one complaint from anybody in that neighborhood.
Chair Hester West. What would change would be an enhancement to that section of the bike trail with signage and, like you said, possibly some striping. And that would be if, in fact, the city manager chooses to bring this to the Public Works Advisory Board. That advisory board would make some recommendations to council whether the alignment goes east or west, and then a recommendation of the county considering the improvements on the bike path within our town, within the beach track and the cloisters. And I think you're pretty far off as far as dedicating, you know, we're going to have striping, we're going to have signs here and there. The project's got a lot more steps involved before they start concluding about what kind of enhancements in this section that we're going to have. So hopefully that clears it up. There's still more discussion, but I would imagine that we could only see an improvement in the informing pedestrians and bikers and automobiles in that area, because that's really, it really bottlenecks around Java Street as you turn in, and that's a real pinch point, and that's something that signs could improve. And there may be some no parking along that area. There could be a variety of things that come out of Public Works Advisory Board.
Plans for all these areas that will be approved by, again, the collaborative list of people.
Okay, and then, sorry, my last question was the fencing or the walls are so different from each other. How are you going to make, what's the decision-making process look like to decide on which wall to use?
Well, let me try and grab that. We have some coastal, the county has some coastal regulations that say do the least obtrusive development possible in the coastal area, especially with view sheds. Now, the reason why this impact on the coastal side was so significant was because of the sensitive nature of that view shed, that beautiful coast as you come down that hill or as you look to the west on Highway 1. So the county and me as the project manager would be looking for the least obtrusive that Caltrans would accept. So, for example, the one below, to me, that's pretty visual. You can really see through that. That's almost transparent as far as I'm concerned. So that would be, I'm hoping by the time I go through my process, that will be approved and that we could get something as least obtrusive as that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I have one quick question. So this fence you're showing here is between the highway and the bicycles, because what I believe exists now is a large chain link fence that runs the whole way down. Would that chain link fence be subject to removal and put a prettier fence there too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
And then just a probably basic question. Does the highway then get modified to, I mean, obviously now if you travel up or down Highway 1, you're going in one direction, at least most people, right? I mean, it's mm-hmm. ideally, right? So in this case, you're actually having two-way traffic on either the west or the east side of the highway, depending on what gets decided. So does the bike path then get widened to accommodate a wider space to allow for more traffic in both directions? Or
I suspect that they'll maintain those bike lanes that are already on Highway 1, Highway 1. There's a segment of the bike rider population that, you know, they're coming from San Francisco to Los Angeles, for example, and veering off for the connector isn't really what they're looking for. I think that little segment is
actually I'm just trying to get a picture of this. So this actually sort of supplements the, you know, in essence, the lane today that, you know, a cyclist coming from north to south is using. This is actually an additional connector.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That helped.
Okay. Are there any plans to widen the Toro Creek bridge if they do add this? Because that's my concern, is it's so narrow there. That's really kind of a dangerous place to ride a bike.
That's precisely why I wouldn't ride on Highway 1 right now, is the Toro Creek bridge. There is no plans to widen that at this point. This is an alternative to that.
Okay.
Because that affects the east side more than the west, would we not agree, right? That east side's super narrow. The west side, I don't recall being nearly as
Well,
tight.
On the east side, if you look on your sheet here, the east side has, it's super narrow near that big cut
slope. Where the
bridge
is, yeah.
And towards the bridge, there's a fair amount of room if you look on here over the creek where, you know, if the bridge were to be widened, and this is speculation because I don't know of any plans to widen that bridge, that they could bump out that way. But I don't know.
In other places on the coast in California, rules and regulations for bike paths that have already been developed, say, down south, would that be the same for here?
It's a little bit. For example, the bike path that I'm showing you down below is in another Caltrans district. So there's a little bit of, just because that's approved in that district, the people in our district may say this is not a good idea for some reason, because, you know, what works in the Southern California doesn't necessarily work in Northern California. So each district has their own authority.
Okay.
The fact that this was approved, will be, or hopefully will be approved in, say, Ventura, that's the neighboring district. There's a lot of similarities, so there's a good chance that it would lend itself well.
Is there anyone particularly in favor of having this on the east side, or is it just a matter of evaluating? I mean, what are the drivers of the debate
Well, the eastern alignment was selected through the environmental impact report as one of the environmentally superior alternatives, and it was truly because of that wall that blocks the view of highway of the ocean. I'll go back to them next month and we'll see.
Okay, but only the western alignment qualifies for part of this California Trail. All right.
I believe that will be the case.
And yeah. So there'll be some unity between other counties and such, since it is part of like the same trail, right? But then we have to get cooperation, I'm sure, from BLM and state parks and Caltrans. So
for this trail?
Well, for the whole trail, the making of it.
It's done county by county, city by city. It's truly a piecemeal trail. But one of the criteria for that coastal trail insignia, that stamp of approval, is where possible that you're between Highway 1 and the ocean.
Right.
So the benefit there is that if we were able to qualify to be part of the California Trail, then we have a great opportunity to market to the public, hey, come and ride on the California Trail in Morro Bay. If it's not on the map, it's not on the map.
There is that benefit. There's the tourist dollars that come with the California Coastal Trail. There's also the funding to develop this project.
Right.
There's a greater source of funding if it is in the California Coastal Trail.
So if the west side were picked, then there's more dollars to utilize.
It's 12 feet wide. There's shoulders, 2 feet shoulder. And I'm sorry, what was the other dimension?
The surface.
Surface will be asphalt. Very similar to the Bob Jones Trail.
So if you're using the existing west side shoulder there, that's basically the whole shoulder?
The west side shoulder. Well,
the western alignment. So if it was in that location, if it's on the existing road, that's the complete shoulder plus 5 feet?
Yeah, we will need to be building some retaining walls on that, yeah. But only for part of it, not the full length.
Any questions?
Any other surfaces researched other than asphalt?
No, not at this point.
Okay.
Other questions? Bless you. No other questions? Okay. So any discussion we want to have here on these options before we seek a motion?
We're simply recommending.
I just don't see that being a good idea at all. And if we could, what's the word?
We're just recommending to carry forward that concrete wall is 25 meters away from people all over the state. Mm-hmm. That concrete wall will survive.
You don't think so?
Yeah.
All right.
This is a west side, east side debate tonight.
Right. All right, well, my vote is for west side then.
Okay, do we want to entertain a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we recommend that the path you put on the west side of the Highway 1.
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Nay. Thank you. All right. Moving on to our agenda, item A, consent calendar. We have A1, A2, A3, and A4. Does any commissioners like to pull any of these items for review? Or if not, if I can get a motion to approve these for file. Moving on to C, unfinished business, no items. Next up is new business, election of chair and vice chair. So what we're looking for is to make a nomination and elect commissioners that will serve a one-year term, both for chair and vice chair, effective March. So chair who gets elected tonight runs the meeting, finishes the meeting, I'm not sure, or kicks off the next meeting. How's it go, Mr. Woods?
Now, generally, after your election, those positions are resumed. are taken immediately, okay. And then they would that the new chair, if there was a new chair, would complete the meeting.
Okay, thank you. Did I skip D1? That's where we are.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Election of chair and vice chair. So what we'd be looking for is...
That's D.
Did I miss D1?
Yeah. D1 is the review of the aquatic understanding center. Of aquatic center recommended the city council for approval.
No.
Am I looking at...
That's what I got.
Are you nervous or nervous? Both. Making me nervous over here.
Sorry about that.
Sure. Pardon me? Okay, so what we'd be looking for is a... Where's what page is that?
Here, just use one.
Okay. All right, so what I would do is open up to the floor for nominations, and so any commissioner here can make a nomination for the office of chair, and after all nominations for chair are completed, a motion to close nominations will be required. Hello. Welcome.
New kid on the block.
Well,
I might be willing to be vice chair to assist.
So, and then whoever's nominated for chair will preside over the remainder of the meeting and help with the election of the vice chair. So I think we'll start there with seeking any nominations for chair. Anyone interested?
I'd like to, re-nominate Chair Hale for chair.
I second that nomination.
What do we have to do?
So you accept the nomination?
Pardon me?
You would accept the nomination.
Do we have any other nominations? Requests for chair? No one wants the job? I'm kidding. My seat's warm already. That's good. All right. Let's talk about vice chair. We want to entertain a nomination for vice chair for the next upcoming year.
I'd like to nominate Al Romero for vice chair.
I second it.
Oh, and so I think I'd like to also nominate Ms. Crowley for vice chair. Who's interested in that? So,
some competition.
Any other nominations?
Should be all women.
Well, then second hers.
I'll second her.
Okay, so we have 2 seconds. Mr. Woods, how do we resolve?
Do over?
No, we have two nominations for vice chair.
If both candidates that have been nominated accept the nominations, then we'd have to cast a vote.
Well, I accept mine.
I accept mine.
Oh, exciting.
Get your story now.
Okay, so... We're going to do just a countdown vote.
Oh, no. Do I do the nice thing in return? Sure, I'll vote for Al.
All right, I'll vote for Commissioner Crowley.
I'll vote for Commissioner Crowley.
Mr. Romero.
Wow, this is exciting.
Is that a tie?
It is.
Coin flip.
Wow.
Okay.
We have a tie.
Should they arm wrestle?
Do both candidates still want to continue? Does anybody want to bow out at this time? Or do you want to go? Al, do you want
to
step down?
Bow out.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Crowley is our new vice chair. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow. That was exciting.
Thanks.
Okay, so I'm going to need to. Have a motion to close nominations.
Make a motion we close nominations for vice chair.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. D3? I'm sorry, D2. Moving on. Pardon? Yep, D2, election of a senior representative. So we also... Okay. Anybody like to... make a nomination for that role for this year.
Yeah, I'd like to recommend Mr. Munoz.
He's not here.
He's not here.
That's how it works.
Mm-hmm. I'll second.
Anyone else? Anyone else want to make a nomination?
It's called collusion.
Okay. All in favor?
We can't do that if you're not here.
Sure we can.
Yeah.
Aye.
Okay. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
All right. No one opposed. So Commissioner Munoz will serve as our senior representative.
May I, Chair Hale? Mm-hmm. I would make this recommend this comment. Commissioner Munoz has been the chair, has been representative of the seniors for quite a while, on and off, in his stint as a commissioner here. I'm sure that he'd be open to do that again. If by some reason he's not, we would be able to bring this back to you at your next meeting.
That's great. I think that's what the spirit of that would be. All right, moving on to D3, review of co-sponsorship request from the Morro Bay Garden Club for the Dahlia Days event. So I'll turn it back over to you.
It's back to the early 60s where Dahlia Days was in full swing, and it is the Dahlia is the city's official flower. The co-sponsorship request is brought to you because the criteria for co-sponsorship has not been met. The three criteria, the basic three criteria that were set by City Council back in 2009 were that the event must be off-season, which means it would be through November 1 through April the 30th. The event would have to be a multiple-day event or a one-day with major financial return to the city. And the third criteria would be the requesting party be a nonprofit organization. And this is was motioned and seconded to council. The Morro Bay Garden Club presented their original application last year to be co-sponsored in 2010. That request was accepted by City Council, and the Dahlia Days was a co-sponsored event. Since it still doesn't meet the criteria because it is in peak season, because that's when dahlias bloom, is in August, so it makes. And the tree committee has recently gone through extensive surveys and questions and voting for a city tree. And just recently, council's adopted the new official city tree, being the Monterey Cypress. So in celebration of our new city tree and the continued celebration of the dahlias, the proposed event this year is called Dahlia Days Cypress Nights, which is a collaborative effort between the two groups. some of the original things that happened last year will happen again this year. Dahlias, there's a social on Friday at the Morro Bay Community Center, followed by a Saturday event, which would have a series of presentations, lectures, exhibits, and so forth. And then on Saturday, would also include, as I understand, information on the Monterey Cypress, and professionals and experts in the field would come and share their knowledge with attendees that were there. And then there would be a gala or a large event Saturday night. And right now, I don't believe that they have confirmed the exact event on Saturday night, but they're working on a large barn dance or something similar to a big dance party celebration. And they're attended the days in the cypress tree together, and just really celebrate, you know, this whole event. The tree committee and the Morro Bay Garden Club are the two groups, and so those are the two groups that are really trying to get out and spread the word about what they're doing and possibly get members and the community involved in the program. So that's basically what the program looks like this year. Obviously, there'll be more details coming as they kind of solidify all their plans. The financial impact, as we see it right now, if it was a nonprofit rate for the type of event and the time of day that they're using it, Friday night, Saturday, and Saturday night, comes up to about $1,500. If the co-sponsorship was granted, we would bring down those hourly rates to just the direct cost of the use of the facility. And the direct cost for the event would bring it down to about a little under $500, about $940 for the event. And these are estimates because obviously if the times could change, the amount of room usage could change, and we're working with the group with that. So it's a difference of a little over $1,000 as far as the cost, possibly having some economic impact throughout the community, throughout Friday night and through Saturday night as well. And that's the intent, and that's part of the reasons why they're presenting this as a co-sponsored event. And if you were to approve this co-sponsored event, there hasn't been any huge changes other than the addition of the Cypress, and then we would bring it back to staff for final execution. So that concludes my report on Dahlia Days Cypress Nights co-sponsorship. I'd be happy to answer any questions. And if I can't answer the questions, there might be some members of the audience that could help us out.
Excellent. Thank you. Questions?
Well, Joe, at this point, it doesn't conflict with any other events at the Civic Center, does it?
Oh, not at all. Currently, okay. It's tentatively. It's on our calendar now. We're just looking to hopefully get co-sponsorship from the city.
Did we have a number of participants at last year's event? I see a forecasted number.
About 200 more. Yeah, I believe last year we were looking at between 200 and 300, and staff report shows it between 300 and 500. And a Saturday night is going to increase your participations.
Sounds fun. Mm-hmm. Would you say that last year's event was very successful? Were they happy about it?
From a staff point of view, I thought it was very successful.
I
got positive feedback from the Morro Bay Garden Club. So positive that they're willing to come back. They want to expand and have even a larger event. The venue at the community center seems to work out rather well. The Friday Social is put together extremely well. They've got a combination of art with plants. And if you didn't show up last year, you really need to make it this year because it's really a unique kind of exhibit hall, if you will. It's not like any other. It's not just pictures and it's not just plants. It's kind of a combination, and it's really artistically done, and it's really a fun social. And I think they're really going to open up the doors on Saturday night and really try to get the community back in. Back in the 60s, when Dahlia Days was kicking, they really had big barn dances, and this town came out in full force and just packed the halls and just danced all night. And I think they they're trying to bring that old big community spirit back to the town and have people come out and celebrate the tree, the cypress tree, and the Dahlia Days. It seems like really a community pull together event.
Discussion?
I wish it supported.
Has there been any involvement at all with Via Newcomers Club? They have a gardening group. Travel from different venues. I wonder if those folks would be of some interest, or should they be contacted?
I can certainly bring that recommendation to both groups as their subcommittees continue to meet. I think that they're always branching out, and that's what we're finding now. We're not looking for one or two volunteers. They are certainly looking for groups to get involved, and I think that the newcomers group certainly would be a potential to add in there.
All right, anyone want to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to support the co-sponsorship of the event.
I would like to second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. And last on the agenda, we'll move on to D5, Recreation and Park Department Program Evaluations.
Chair Hill, Commission, D5 is... our divisions were under 6, under 8. We had also an under 10 and boys and girls, and under 12. Under 14 girls played at Morro Bay and Los Osos, Templeton, Atascadero, and also Paso Robles. We ended with the end of the season tournaments for the under 10, 12, and under 14 age groups. We hosted one of the tournaments, the under 12s, and a portion of the under 10s. Which brings groups from teams from around the county to our town. September the 23rd was our Morro Bay Recreation and Parks night at Cal Poly, and that's when they played La Jolla Marymount, and we had six teams. We had mini games at halftime, and it's been a really good connection for us to continue with. We've done it with soccer, and we'll continue with basketball, girls softball. We all try to get connected with Cal Poly, and that's been very successful, and we're going to be continuing that. The under six and under eights had a costume day for Halloween. They wore their costumes as long as they were safe. And we've got pictures on our website on a photo album. So if you get a chance to get on our website and check out the kids playing soccer in the Halloween costumes, it's pretty cool. We did have one injury, $1,557. We sold sweatshirts. We had registration fee, and we had a total revenue of $14,782. It was a net loss of $774. Cost recovery, 75%. This program is a 70 to 79% cost recovery. So we were right on the money, a lot higher, actually about 20% higher than our target cost recovery. We did play in All-Stars, which is attractive right now, because if we don't play All-Stars, we generally tend not to get a lot of players from Los Osos. So we supported the All-Stars postseason play. That particular play is 100% cost recovery, that was a break-even at $740 on expenses as well as revenues. We have a list of recommendations that staff will be considering for the next year, and that concludes my report. Be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Questions? No. Okay.
Good job.
Do we need to adopt that one to file?
Staff is looking for commission to.
Not I.
Okay. I'd like to accept a motion to adjourn our meeting.
I second it.
I can't make it.
No. Make a motion.
Go ahead, make a motion. I make a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Bada bing. The balance of power is shifted.
Well, how am I? How much time to have a.
Thinking about chair for next week.
Okay. You're so good at it.
Yeah, I know.
Wonderful tomorrow.
Yeah.